So, you really don't have a title for this lesson. I'll have to make up a title. We'll just call it the rotational lesson of the use of the arm. And today is February 9th, 2003. So as you learned yesterday, take a moment to check in with yourself. You begin to scan yourself, noticing what kind of contact that you're making this morning, how your shoulder blades are lying on the floor, how your arms are lying on the floor. How your spine is lying, the pelvis, your legs. And then just take a moment to draw your attention back up to the shoulder blade area and see if you can sense the outline of each shoulder blade. So it's like a triangular shape, and see if you can go along and feel each edge, or is there one or two edges of the shoulder blade that are really hard for you to sense? And probably it's the edges closest to the spine, but doesn't have to be, just a suggestion. The shoulder blade and the scapula are exactly the same thing. So sometimes I will go back and forth calling it the different name. But some people are familiar with scapula, and some people think that's a knife. And then other people like the term shoulder blade. Okay, so go ahead and roll on to your left side. And you need to lie on your left side in a somewhat like fetal position. So that means that your knees need to be bent up somewhat 90 degrees. And if possible, allowing your head to hang down. If you need your arm under your head, that's okay momentarily. But if you can bring it out in front of you, that's ideal. And now with your right arm, which is the upper arm, place it on the floor in front of you. So your palm is down. And begin to do a movement of just starting to slide your right arm, your right palm, straight out in front of you, and then you slide it back. And really pay attention to what straight out in front of you is. So that means that the palm is lined up with the shoulder. Just go back just a little bit. You have plenty of room. Because I don't want... There you go. There you go. That's it. And now ask yourself the question that as you're sliding the arm along the floor, so no lifting. We never lift the arm at this point away from the floor. Where do you feel the movement occurring? Is the movement occurring just in your forearm or the upper arm, or do you feel that shoulder blade moving? Now notice, once you've slid your arm away from you, right, you somehow have to bring it back towards you. Observe what you do to do that. So most of you bring it back by bending the elbow. So everybody do that. You slide the arm way away from you, it's nice and long, and then to get it back, you just bend the elbow. So that means that you don't do anything in the shoulder blade, do you? That's how foreign it is to us. So now, The constraint is you're not allowed to bend the elbow. So you need to pull the arm back by moving the shoulder blade. Uh-huh. Remember yesterday I said, if you can't feel it, hallucinate. Imagine. That's it. No lifting, Janice. Just slide. So right now, it's not a very big movement, and I'm putting a constraint that you keep the hand in contact with the floor, but you begin to feel how to slide the arm back by moving the shoulder blade. Do not bend the elbow. Good. Now just continue to do the movement a few more times, and notice what's happening with your ribs. So as your arm slides away from you, can you all feel how your ribs and the sternum starts to roll towards the floor? And if it's not, can you allow that to happen now? So if somebody pulled your arm, they kept on pulling on you, you could eventually roll onto your stomach. You can actually roll over the other arm that far. You could just flop onto your stomach. So allow your face to roll along the floor. Allow the chest, that's nice, Alan, so that your sternum, that's the breastbone, that's nice, Danielle. Let that sternum come all the way towards the floor. You can, let's see. There, yeah. So you can let it and then come back. That's the idea, good. And then come back just in here and pull it back even more back. There, even more. Good. Good. Okay, pause and just stay on your side for a moment. Now bring, once again, your right arm straight out in front of you. And this time, instead of the sliding, we're going to begin to work with lifting the arm. So the constraint that you have is that your elbow and wrist, all of that is going to stay in one line. It's like the locked leg yesterday. You have a locked arm. No bending in the wrist or the elbow. And now begin to gently start to lift the right hand away from the floor, as if you might eventually, not so soon, but eventually bring the arm to be orientated or directed towards the ceiling. And the moment that you lift the arm, you should begin to feel something happening in your chest and your ribs. Okay, so let's pause for a minute. We'll do it the way that most of you are doing it. It's very interesting. Okay, so let's do this. You're going to raise your arm all the way to the ceiling and do not let your head or chest move at all. And feel the weight of the arm, how much work that takes. Nothing else is allowed to participate. Okay. Right. So you're doing it all from one location. Yeah. Now, this time have your nose and your eyes glued to the fingertips of your right hand and arm. So that means as the arm lifts, your head begins to roll and your chest follows the head. That's better. So when your hand and fingertips are pointed towards the ceiling, your chest bone should be pointed towards the ceiling too. And then you go back over. Good. That's it. So as your arm lifts, let that chest bone, that's it. Even more, Alejandro. I want you to go way, 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 way. So now see, this is orientated like this and like this. That's the idea. So you get to the point where your chest, okay, again, your chest is pointing towards the ceiling, no longer to the left side of the room. Let's straighten you out here. There we go. Your head doesn't fall off. That's better. Good. How's that feel? Does the arm feel lighter now? Okay, now let's go back to the other way. You're not allowed to move your head, your ribs, your chest, nothing. The arm is locked and frozen, and you just lift the arm. And how does that affect your breathing? Do you see how you go into a holding pattern? Because you're holding the rest of you? Okay, pause and stay on your side and rest for a minute. Okay, so this time you're going to begin to bring the right arm straight out in front of you. And we're going to allow it to come up towards the ceiling, letting our head and eyes and chest follow. And once your arm is directed towards the ceiling, let's stay there. So your chest is nice and open, and you have a nice big twist going on in your spine. So your fingers are directed towards the ceiling beautifully. So now the first movement is just begin to lengthen your arm up towards the ceiling and then lower it back to the starting position. So this is going to move the shoulder blade along the ribs. So you pull it up, and then it slides right back down. And your arm remains straight and stiff. I don't like that word. It's straight, so there's no bending in the elbows or the wrist. Janice, elbow. Do not move that elbow. That's it. Lock, 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 lock. There you go, Janice. So can you feel the shoulder blade going up and down? So the arm stays always towards the ceiling. Never does the arm lower. It's the shoulder blade, Richard. Slide the shoulder blade down in the back of your ribs. That's it, Elliot, but no bending in the elbow. You're okay. So this is the shoulder blade. Let this come down and back. There. Yeah, you're doing fine. Yeah, that's it, Richard. It's a foreign movement for some of you. Okay, slowly go back over to the side, and let's take a moment to rest. New concept. Okay, once again, come back up to that same position. So nicely bring the right arm up, allow the chest and the head to roll so your arm and fingers are directed towards the ceiling. And now this time, instead of doing the up and down, we're going to turn the head of the humerus inside the shoulder joint. So you start to turn from the hand so that your hand turns like in a way towards your face, and then you twist it the other way. No bending again in the elbow. You bypass the elbow. The elbow is just like the knee. So we're bypassing it right now. Twist, twist. Good. Now notice as you're twisting that you might start to sense that there's a relationship between the twisting and the lifting. So if you begin to feel that, which way would you want to twist your arm and then lengthen it up towards the ceiling? And then the other way is like you're untwisting and the shoulder blade comes back down. That's it. See, you're all so brilliant. The amazing thing is, even though everybody has their little unique things that they do, when you ask them to do something that's so universal in the nervous system, everybody will get it. That's why you can't fail Feldenkrais. No one will get a failure degree in here. Everybody will pass. Right? You feel that? So there's the twist and you lengthen and then you untwist. It's like, it would be like screwing a light bulb into a light socket. Up and then back. That's it. That's nice, Jean. Very nice. Now let that shoulder blade come back down as you twist. That's it. Okay. And everybody, please come back over onto your side and then roll onto your back and rest for a moment. And as you're lying on your back now, just sense if something feels very different in the right shoulder blade compared to the left, how different your whole experience of that area is now. And we didn't do very many movements. Please roll onto your left side again. Bring your right arm straight out in front of you. And then this time we're going to go back to one of the earlier movements where you slid the arm out in front of you and allowed the chest to roll forward, your face rolls forward. So at this point, you should feel comfortable to roll almost over your nose. So we're just doing the sliding. No lifting with the arm, but sliding. So you slide. So that's nice, Chris. I'm so glad he's willing to put his nose into the mat. I know they're not great mats, but that's it. Nice, Holly. Trust that you can roll over. And what's so wonderful about this is you're rolling your body over the other side, the left shoulder joint. That's it, Richard. Great. Now, as you continue this and you let yourself roll into the mat, you get to that point and then you start to lift the arm. It's like almost like an airplane taking off. You know, that's the end of your runway. And you lift your arm and you can bring it up towards the ceiling, but you keep your face and chest into the mat. So the only way to do this is to pull the shoulder blade back along your spine. That's nice, Alejandro. Good. And then you go back down, go back to the starting place. Great, good. Okay, pause and just rest for a moment on the side again. Now bring your right arm straight out in front of you again. And let's go back to the movement of lifting the right arm, turning your face and chest to be orientated towards the ceiling. And once you get there, pause. And then we'll go back to combining the movement now of lengthening the arm with twisting the arm and then untwisting and seeing if you can lower the shoulder blade enough back that it comes to touch the floor. So as much as we don't want to be goal-orientated, that's our goal right now. So you drop the shoulder blade enough back that you can actually feel the blade come back to the floor. So you're moving it that separate from the ribs. That's it. And then you twist it and lengthen it again. Exactly. Yes, so you feel that there's even a greater kind of opening and movement that happens in the sternum. That's it. That's it. Elbow, Janice. I'm going to get a stick and tape it. Lock your knee, lock your elbow, lock your elbow. That's what you need, is lock your elbow. Because every time you do the bending, exactly, you do. That's an illusion. Good. Okay. And come back over onto your side and then roll onto your back and take a nice rest on your back. Yeah. 20 years younger. Then today you'll be 40 years younger. Then you'll only be back to 3 or something. So notice too if there's a sense of perhaps like aliveness, a quality of the arm, the right arm now feeling connected to you. And does it feel lighter? Very often when parts of ourselves feel heavy, they're very disconnected. We're like dragging them along. They're like, the term often used is like dead weight. And as soon as that part of ourselves becomes connected, there's a very light feeling that occurs. Would you like the left arm to feel more like the right arm? Okay. So let's roll on to our right side. Okay. And just begin with the first movement of orientating your left arm straight out in front of you and just sliding it very nicely away from you and sliding back. The constraint that we started with is that the elbow needs to stay locked. And when you slide the arm back, it's because you think of the shoulder blade, pulling back towards the direction of going behind you. And one of the things I was sharing with a few of you that got here early this morning is that I'm going to suggest for all of you to do in the running is now do it the other way. So sometimes if you do something really bad, it makes what's really good even better. So this time, really bend the elbow a lot to pull the arm back. So in fact, don't move the shoulder blade at all. Just do the action of lengthening the arm out in front of you, and the only way you can pull the arm back is just through the elbow. And just feel what that's like to you. So you don't move the chest, you don't roll, nothing. Everything's frozen. So the whole action is occurring pretty much in the bicep, tricep, forearm. Can you imagine how exhausting that would get? And that's yet how most people are operating all day long around their computers, the telephones, working as a cashier. And they wonder why they have carpal tunnel. Because nothing else is participating. Now go back to the other way. So you slide your arm away from you, and you pull it back from the shoulder blade and the ribs, and your face rolls forward and back. Now which do you like better? Doesn't one feel much nicer? And your whole body so much happier? Good. Pause and rest on your side. Okay, bring your left arm straight out in front of you again. And then this time we're going to start the lifting movement. So go ahead and start to lift your hand and allow your face and your chest to follow the movement so that you orientate your hand towards the ceiling and the chest and the face go with the movement and then you go back over. And really take your time with this so that you really feel the turning and the rotation of your ribs. This movement is something that you can do anywhere, like you go traveling. You can just lie on the floor and do this, and it will open your chest and your spine tremendously. That's it. Great. Now, the next time that you bring your arm up, stay there so your chest is open to the ceiling, your nose and face is orientated to the ceiling, as well as those fingertips, the elbows locked, and just begin to lengthen the arm up and then slide it back down so the shoulder blade comes back down along the back. No twisting yet. We're just lifting and sliding back. That's it. And sometimes this movement for people that haven't moved this area for a long time feels very kind of clunky. And the more that you do it, the softer and more elegant it will become. Very close. Great. Bring yourself back over to your side and take a moment to just rest. Check in with the four parts of your breath and breathing. Once again, let's lift your left arm, bring it nicely up towards the ceiling, orientate your face and chest towards the ceiling, and then once you're there, begin the turning of the arm. So just explore the turning. Don't add the lifting in yet. Just turn and see if you can even visualize inside the shoulder joint, the head of the humerus. Ironically, it looks just like the head of the femur. So the shoulder joint is a replica of the pelvis joint, the hip joint. They're shaped exactly the same. It's the only two places that you've got these big balls in the socket. And the reason that you do is because that's where we have the greatest range of movement, is where you have a ball in a socket. Very nice. Okay, come back to your side and pause and rest again for a moment. Bring your left arm up once again. Chest and face orientated. And this time you can combine the turning of your arm with the lengthening and then the unturning, we'll say, with the lowering of the shoulder blade. That idea that that shoulder blade could slide all the way down your back and touch the floor. That's it. Great. Okay. Come back onto your side again and just pause again for a moment. Now let's go back to this earlier movement of sliding the hand along the floor. And as you slide your hand forward, you roll your whole self forward, your sternum, your face. And then, like an airplane, your hand takes off. And you lift your arm up towards the ceiling, but you keep your chest and your face on the floor. So this is creating another distinction with the back part of the shoulder blade, the part that's closest to the spine. This is I know it's a hard movement. Make sure you're still breathing. That's it. So you're doing great, and it's feeling how this part comes back like that. Good. That's it, Deborah. Yeah. And then eventually, you know, it's feeling that can happen. Great. Okay, let's let it go and roll onto our back and rest. You cold? Are you guys getting a little chilled? I told you to tell me. Will you go tell him? That's going to turn on. We'll turn it on now. So feel how those shoulder blades are resting now. Now, as you continue to lie on your back, we're going to bring up just one arm at a time. So bring your right arm up towards the ceiling now. Fingertips are directed right towards the ceiling. And we're just going to first do the movement of lengthening and lowering back down. So you're now on your back. It's a little different experience. So you imagine somebody goes to pull on, so no twisting, just lengthening and letting the shoulder joint and the scapula press back down into the floor without bending the elbow. Your arm is a stick. And really feel that the shoulder joint can press very firmly into the scapula and that you can press that whole scapula back down into the floor. This is actually really quite hard because most of us are so tight from rolling the shoulder blade forward. This is another thing that if you wanted to do every night when you came home from work after being on the computer, would be the best thing you could do, is to help those shoulder blades come back. Get the head of the humerus back inside the shoulder joint. Good. Now try to do it a little faster, as if your arm was like a drum. And can you just like let it bang onto the floor? Just really let it bang, drop. Doesn't mean bend the elbow. You drop, that's it, Alejandro. Feel how you can really let it go. Drop, drop. But there's something controlled in the drop, which is keeping the elbow, that's it. I think they're permanently bent. I'm going to have to work on your arms. Faster, faster. Da, 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 da. Holly, faster, faster. Bigger. Everybody else can rest, but Holly. That's the idea. You come home from work and do that every day. Okay, let it go. Enough drumming. So when we do both arms eventually, we should be able to make noise on the mat, like drums. Dun, 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 dun. So when you go home and if you can't make noise, that means the muscles are so contracted that you can't make the sound. But once you can make the sound is good, then you're freeing up those muscles around your neck and your shoulder blades. Deltoids, the traps. Okay, let's bring the left arm up. Same idea. Elbow needs to be locked. Lengthen it and then press it back down into the floor. That's it. That's good, Deborah. That's it, Kathy. One often is easier, too. Which is an important thing to notice. You'll say, oh, this one's much easier, or oh, this one really difficult. So it tells you which side of your neck and shoulder blade area that you tend to contract more. That's it. Now try to do it a little faster, a little harder. Really bang it into the ground. See if you can make noise. Can you hear yourself? That's it. Good. Good. Okay, let's pause and rest. Okay, and one last time, please bring up both arms. And now what we'll do with both arms is we're going to alternate them. Okay, so this will kind of mimic in a way what happens with running. One comes forward, the other presses back. You just emphasize dropping one in the floor, and then you drop the other one. Drop, drop. And then, as you get the hang of it, go a little faster. That's it. And your chest, you'll just feel how your chest and spine wiggles in between your shoulder blades. So go as fast as you can. Make noise. That's it, Nancy. She's making noise. More noise, Alan. There you go. Can you smile at the same time? Good. You can laugh. That's good. Good, good, good. That's it. Great. Okay. It's like giving your upper back a massage. Mm-hmm. See? Can do these things at home. Okay, so rest your arms. Just feel how that feels up there. Take a moment to notice how your entire spine is making contact now with the floor, the lower pelvis, the legs. Gently roll your head a little bit to the left and to the right, and just see if there's been any tension in your neck. Somehow that's miraculously gone. Huh. And we didn't, quote, do anything with the neck. That's one of the most beautiful things about this work, is you change something somewhere else, and you get all these benefits in other places that you didn't even anticipate that there would be a benefit. So if you free the shoulders, the neck becomes free. Good. Okay, so what we're going to do now is we're going to bring ourselves up to standing. We're going to come standing onto the hard floor again and bring yourself close to your partner. Say hi to them again. It'll be your first time to work with them again today.